Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking this week about what God wants of us. I'm often asked, how do I become a good Christian? Or how do I get to be holy? What does holiness mean? What does God want of me? What must I do? Well, let's think about that during this week. What does God want of us? Several years ago, my granddaughter, Elizabeth Shepherd, wrote to me and told me that she believed that God was calling her to go to Russia. Now, mind you, this child was 13 years old. She had heard about a student group that was going to go, and it sounded very exciting to her. And, of course, their purpose in going, she told me, was to share Christ. Now, who would want to discourage a 13-year-old from sharing Christ? But I had to put a damper on my precious granddaughter's feelings when I suggested to her that she was only 13. This was going to be an expensive trip for which she would have to raise money. And maybe it was more important for her to learn to get along a little bit more lovingly with her sister, who was 2 years younger. And if she really wanted to share Christ with strangers, she might just go to the mall, which wasn't so far away. Well, of course, that didn't sound nearly as interesting as a trip to Russia. I grew up hearing a great deal about accepting Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and witnessing for Him. Those phrases and that word witnessing we heard constantly in Sunday school, in church, in youth groups, in Bible clubs that we went to. Each person must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. I believe that. It certainly is true. And we are meant to be witnesses. But my idea for many years was that witnessing was either knocking on people's doors and asking them if they're saved, or giving them tracts, or standing on street corners and singing or preaching or handing out tracts, things like that. Now, those may be forms of witnessing. They certainly are forms of witnessing, but they are not by any means the most important form of witnessing, which is a holy life. The visible outward sign of an inward reality of faith is a holy life. Acting like a Christian, doing what Jesus Christ would do if he were in your position. Although I saw the presence of God practiced by my father and mother and a few others, I heard very little about what true Christianity is. Holy living, evidenced in the commonplace. When I went to boarding school at the age of 14, Mrs. DuBose, the headmistress, dinned into our ears the importance of practical Christianity. Don't go around with the Bible under your arm if you didn't sweep under the bed. Don't walk down that hall and kick up the corner of a rug and fail to put the corner back down again. She used to call it Character Hall. She could sit in the lobby and look straight down that hall, which was lined with small Persian throw rugs. Students would race down the hall, kick up the corners of the rugs, which of course made it very possible for somebody else to trip over them. And if they didn't put it back, she would stop them, make them go back and straighten out that rug. And she would often remind us that that is Character Hall. That was a test of the reality of our Christianity, the willingness to pay attention to the small things. Holy, I used to think, was a word meant for great saints, nuns, monks, preachers, missionaries, exceptional individuals. But God gives us a very simple statement of what he wants of us. It's in the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There's the simple formula. We may think that we are becoming very holy by fasting, and at the same time have a heart full of bitterness. We might decide to become a teetotaler and never touch a drop with our lips, but from those lips might proceed calumny, slander, and nastiness. We might repeat daily prayers, and from those same lips would come stinging, angry words to family and fellow workers. We might open our wallets generously and close our hearts to one who needs forgiveness. Who is devout? Who is a good Christian? The one who goes to church? Well, what does that verse say? That we are to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. My brother Tommy, when he was a little boy, about 2 or 3 years old, used to love to take the paper bags out of the bottom drawer in the kitchen. And my mother permitted him to do this on one condition. He must put the bags back when he had finished spreading them over the kitchen floor. He loved to spread them over the kitchen floor in very neat straight lines. But they were to go back in the drawer when he was finished. She came into the kitchen one day. The bags were on the floor. Tommy was not around. She found him in the living room where my father was playing the piano. She said, "Tommy, I want you to come in the kitchen and put away the paper bags." And Tommy looked up with those beautiful blue eyes that he had with such long, dark lashes. And he smiled sweetly. And he said to my mother, "But I want to sing Jesus Loves Me." Well, my father took the opportunity to point out that it's no good singing praises if you're not obeying your mother. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination or witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry." Stern words, aren't they? You may read your Bible, pray, go to church, be baptized, talk about heaven, tell your neighbors. But you remember a few days ago, maybe several weeks ago, I told you about a woman who told me that she had prayed for years for her husband's salvation, but she herself was refusing to forgive an erstwhile friend. Her husband clearly saw her bitter spirit and wanted nothing to do with the salvation that she was trying to draw him into. He sees the fruits of what she calls Christianity as being very far from common courtesy. I read the biography of a Muslim who had become a Christian. He said he had never known a Muslim who became a Christian except through observing the pure life and sacrificial love of some other Christian. What is the reality of our Christianity? He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? God speaks to us through our conscience. You know right now what you've left undone. You know what you ought to have done that you left undone. You know what you did that you ought not to have done. None of us will ever be holy until we desire, deep down in our hearts, to love God. That is the motivation for obedience. Loving God makes us want to obey Him. The first of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Do we love Him? Do we worship Him? Is it evident in the way we live? In Deuteronomy 6, we read, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These are the commandments that I give you today to be upon your lips." May God help us to be holy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.